In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, today's Mass is being offered for the repose of the soul of Tony Ferrari, for Elvira Taylor, and for Julian Teofilia and Sandra Lopez. Today within our Gospel, our Lord has a lot of woes for us. And when we enter into the scripture passages that have lots of woes, it's all because our Lord is frustrated in a holy way. There's a holy frustration that exists, not the frustration that you get at when somebody is taking a little bit too much time at the counter to be able to do something, or is putting you on hold too long on something, or all the little annoyances there. Those aren't holy annoyances. Those are things that we need to suffer well. But there is a holy annoyance that God is taking here. He, the second person of the Trinity, Christ, with those who he's preaching before, those who he's been casting out demons from them, he's been healing, he's been doing all manner of wonder for them, and still their hearts remain undecided about him, or refusing to put their faith and trust in what so is clearly seen before. And so because of the hardness of their hearts, our Lord tries to employ a new strategy to them. A new strategy to them by reminding them that all these other people that they themselves think are the lowest of the low, these people of Tyre and Sidon, often when the people of Jerusalem or the people of Judah would hear about these people, they would sometimes spit in that direction, because so repugnant were these persons to them, just these people of these nations that were here. And so he's saying that if these things were done to them, they would turn back to God in sackcloth and ashes. That if even the great Sodom and Gomorrah, who is known for that sin which cries out to heaven, the sin of the Sodomites, that sin, even those people there, if they would have seen what was going on here, Abraham wouldn't have had to Jew God down by arguing with him to get him in a way to where he would save the town if there were even 10 righteous people, that they would have repented of their own accord and fixed their lives. And so he was reminding these Jews of the stubbornness of their hearts. And so for you and I at this time, it's a wake-up when we read through this scripture passage which was given to us and provided for us by the holy author Matthew, that our hearts can often be stubborn in the very same way. How many times have we been to Mass? Can you enumerate the number of times that you yourself have come to Mass? Can you number the times you've worthily received Holy Communion? And yet our hearts still remain very duro a Dios, very hard to God. How we don't listen to his divine inspiration so easily. I've been going through the past couple of days the Diary of Divine Mercy of St. Faustina. I've made it about halfway through in 2 days, which is quite a feat, by the way. It's a very, very long book. It's a tome, really. And in that, she's visited by many times where she continually, day by day by day, is rebuking herself for the smallest little faults, that unless you understand what's really going on, you'd say, why is she worried about so many things? Is she the worst of all sinners? Well, she convinced all those who were around her to think that she was the worst of all sinners because she was constantly rebuking herself for things and constantly laying herself before the Lord. She was, in truth, a victim soul. St. Catherine de Siena puts it a different way. St. Catherine de Siena, one of the great doctors of the Church, she reminds us that we are to live always, in a way, preparing for the day of judgment. Preparing for the day of judgment. And she writes this in one of her letters, speaking to a soul who she was just pushing and pushing and pushing with so that this soul would finally arrive at perfection, like so many of the saints do. She says this. She says, oh, how blessed will my soul be when I see you and all the others who are called toward God running like people who are in love, to give your lives, never turning back. I beg you then, for the love of Jesus Christ crucified, to open your mind's eye now, so that you may be strengthened when his time comes to rescue you. For I do not see how you can have this sort of strength to run with God, a strength whose source is the gentle mother of charity, unless you keep this eye of self-knowledge always open. What's the eye that she's speaking of here? The constantly checking over your life. Checking over your actions, whether they're exterior actions or interior thoughts. As sacred scripture says, St. Paul says, take every thought captive. I must take every thought and intention that passes through me captive and place it under the service of Christ. She's going to explain that further in what I have to say next about what that self-knowledge is. This is what she says. She says, quote, self-knowledge is the dwelling in which we discover our own lowliness, and this makes us humble. There we find the knowledge of God's goodness too. And in his light, in this light, a warmth, a fire of love is born in us, so gently that all bitterness becomes sweet. Everything weak, it grows strong, and all the ice of selfish self-love melts away. Then we no longer love ourselves selfishly, but we love ourselves for God. And what's even more, we pour out a river of tears and spread our loving desires out all over all of our brothers and sisters, loving them with a pure love, without a self-interest. And we love God for God's sake, because He is supreme and eternal goodness, worthy of being loved. She concludes her letter saying, "Let us not put off any longer to move into this holy dwelling of self-knowledge. We so need this holy dwelling of self-knowledge, and this is pleasant for us because, as I have said, God's boundless and infinite goodness is there. Then this self-knowledge is the weapon I want us to take up." So what is that to say? There's a dual self-knowledge that the saint speaks about all the time, which is at first to recall all the lowliness, all the woundedness, all the weakness that we bear within our body, all those that unconverted nature that we have right there, and that begets in us a river of tears, as she speaks about, because we know that we are worthless in so many ways. And we have to spend a lot of time rebuking ourselves for all the little ways that which we go astray from God's way, all the times when we refuse to answer to His call to prayer, when we say, "I'll get back to you later, God, I have something else that I really got to take care of right now." All the times where we should be at Holy Mass, but we put it off because we say, "Well, I went to Mass yesterday, or I did this other thing yesterday, or I prayed my rosary yesterday, so maybe it's not so important that I complete it today," when the divine summons is calling me to do it now. Those are things we need to rebuke ourselves for, and things that should actually cause us great sorrow because we leave our Lord alone and don't attend to what He wishes us to attend to. But if we were to spend all of our lives just in sorrow for those things and beating ourselves up, we have to realize that's only half the knowledge. Because at the same moment, that thing of self-knowledge also reminds you and me of how loved we are by God, and how He goes to the ends of the earth and in truth beyond, searching for your soul and mine to restore ourselves most fully to Him. That He says that there's no distance that I would not go to reach out to you from the mire in which you are in your sin, to bring you up to the heights, to place you upon my shoulders here upon the cross, to carry you the full length to heaven. If we are going to make the journey to heaven, we have to have that eye of in self-knowledge always open, looking and probing deeply within ourselves, to have both of those knowledges, not to rest in the fact that God loves me and so I'm going to be all right and I don't need to do things, because that ends in hell. And the same thing that says, "I'm so low and so terrible that God could never love me, and I'm always doing so many terrible things that how could I even lift my head to God in any way?" Because that leads to hell too, and despair. But to keep both of those open, always probing the fullness of self-knowledge, to stay there where our Lord is, both in our misery and the fact that God in His mercy perpetually reaches out to me. And that's the way that you and I arrive at the heights of perfection. St. Catherine of Siena pushes us in that direction. St. Faustina reminds us of that our soul is always being loved by God, even in the midst of our need to constantly be pulled toward conversion. And our Lord desired the exact same thing, to break the hearts of those who were there among the Jews, to remind them that they themselves are not as secure as they think that they are, but to always open themselves up more to what God desires to do and is giving them and visiting them on in the graces before them. Whichever side of the equation you're falling on today when you come to Mass, ask our Lord for the grace to fall more on the opposite side, so that you can continually move along the place of perfection. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.